It is so special to be here. It's super special, all these smiling, happy faces. It's precious. And Zoe is very sorry she can't be there. All the way through this last week in our school, the kids' school, there's been one kid after another slowly getting chicken pox, and we thought we'd avoided it. We thought we'd got away. Then Naomi had one spot on Friday, but we thought, you know, it'd be fine. Got back from school, covered in spots. So we left them at home. I didn't think you'd like a chicken pox party here. But they send your love, their love to you. They would love to be here with you. It is precious. I'm going to be speaking today. And this is the verse that kind of has been going through my mind a lot. And it says this. So it's Isaiah 43. And it says this. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And I think it's a season of newness in the UK, a season of opportunity in the UK right now. I don't know if you've been noticing, if your eyes are open. I don't know if you've been perceiving what has been going on. But over the last few years, the message of Jesus has been ramping up in the UK. I'm sure you've not missed it. I've got a slide with some pictures on it. So it's from the intellectuals, all the way through to the people who are making music, all the way through to the newspapers reporting it. I honestly never thought I would see a day. Like, this is my lack of faith, just to put it out there, to own this. My lack of faith. I didn't think I'd live in these days. I didn't. But now I'm believing it. I'm believing God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing in the UK now. And do we perceive it? Are you perceiving it? Are you sensing it? Is your faith rising for what God could do? But it's not just in these places. I think it's everywhere I go, I'm hearing stories of people coming into churches, churches like this, churches like the church that we planted in Manchester. Like, we're a small church, but people come regularly who say, I don't really know why I'm here. I've never been to church. Like, we regularly get in those people. And I'm talking to church leaders across the UK as part of the message I work for. I get to talk to lots of church leaders, and they're all saying, I'm getting emails through saying, oh, I don't know why, but I just keep thinking about Jesus. Am I allowed at church? That was one email we got last week. Am I allowed here? Am I welcome there? It's like, no. Yeah, of course, you're so welcome. It'd be so good to have you. And I just want to pause there on that moment. I think it's likely that there's someone in here who doesn't know Jesus today. I think it's highly likely. I wouldn't have said that 2 years ago, standing up here, but I think it's highly likely. And I just wanted to say to you, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, that's what he said. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. He's the way to the Father. Through him, through his life, death, and resurrection, you can be forgiven of all your sins, and you can have a new life in him. He is the truth. He is the only truth. He is the only truth that you can build your life on, a firm, foundational truth. He is the way. He is the truth. Like, if you search him out, I was listening to a story, just a testimony, just like someone who came to faith intellectually because they denied him for ages. And then they started, well, why don't I look at the evidence? And the evidence points to him being the truth. And he is the life. In him, you have fullness of life, abundant life, only in him. But he welcomes us in. His love is so strong for you, even if you don't know that yet. Even if you're here thinking, oh, I don't know why I'm here, his love is abundantly there for you. All the words that came through this morning were about the abundance of his love. And I just want to say, keep seeking him. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and you can build your life upon him. But the thing for everyone else, and for you, if you're coming to Christ, is God has plans and purposes for your life. He's got amazing plans and purposes for your life. Not just for your life, but for the lives of those around you. He's got plans and purposes for this place. He is rolling out. In Revelation, it talks about him rolling out the scroll. Because Jesus has been killed and raised, he is worthy to unroll the scroll, which is the plan of all time, which is his plans working through. He has plans and purposes that he is working through. And he wants to do it with you. And I was reading Timothy this week, and I was just thinking, there is a charge on each one of our lives. A calling on each one of our lives, a purpose that he has for you individually. And I just can't get away from that thought. each one of us in here, each one of God's people, has a purpose and a calling. And I just want to say, are you perceiving that? Are you hearing that? He has plans and purposes for you. And some of them are a little bit wild. Sometimes he might ask you to do something and you think, oh no, no, thank you, I wouldn't want to do that. I'm pretty comfortable right here in my own situation right now, thank you, Jesus. I'll keep living for you in my comfort. No, he calls you out of comfort into his adventures. He has great adventures for each one of you, if only you'll join him. It's an invite into the adventures of Jesus. And as I was just preparing, I just felt this line was like, you need to join your story to God's story and it'll make history. That's what I was thinking about for you. If you join your story up with what God is doing, with God's story on this earth, it will make history. And not history to make you famous. It's not about you being individually famous and built up and like known by everyone. It's about Jesus getting the glory and the fame. There used to be a guy who was a preacher around here, a guy Mike. Do you remember Mike? Making Jesus famous. Every prayer meeting that you'd go to, we're making Jesus famous. And it's good. It is so good. That is what we're here to do. We're here to make Jesus famous. The calling and purposes, living in the calling and purposes of God. You stepping into the journey God has for you is in order to make Jesus famous, to bring his glory, to bring him praise, to bring him adoration. That's what our calling is, each one of us. But he has callings that we are invited into. Each individual. I don't know if you read the Bible, but if you read the Bible, you'll notice this. You'll remember people's names. Adam and Eve, were they given a calling? God gave them a calling. In fact, he gave them a calling for the rest of humanity. They failed in their calling, but they tried. They were given a calling. Noah was given a calling, wasn't he? Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, Jacob, Moses, David, Esther, Nehemiah, Deborah. There's clear callings. Isaiah, like Jeremiah, Daniel, Mary, Elizabeth, Matthew, John, Priscilla, Aquila, Peter, Paul, Timothy, Martha. All these individuals given callings by Jesus. Different callings, but callings that God has given to them. God has callings over individual lives in here. Will you step into them? Will you step into them afresh? I was thinking about one specific person during this time, and it was Gideon. Who knows the calling of Gideon? It's Judges 6. And I'm just going to read it, because in Judges 6, God calls Gideon. Now, at that time, I don't know, I read the first bit of Judges. It's a bit depressing, I'll be honest. You know, it is, seriously, because it's like God's people did bad and went away from him. Things went really wrong. God's people were led by someone back to God. It got better. God's people, guess what they did? They went away from him. And it is depressing that God's people do this. But this is what happens. And then we land in a place in Judges 6 where God's people are away from him. They've sinned and they've tried to do things their own way and they've tried to make it work. And guess what? It doesn't work without him. It doesn't work without him. And he goes away from them, in fact. But then the people realize, and I think this is what happened in the UK over the last few years. The people of God realized and they started crying out to the Lord. That's verse 6. The people realized that they had a problem and they started crying out to the Lord. And I think that's been happening in the UK. There's a prayer movement that's growing across this place, crying out to the Lord. Lord, we need you. We need you so powerfully. But then God comes down as an angel and he says, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. As the Gideon, come on, thank you. I always was bad at reading. Was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty warrior. Gideon answered, pardon me. I love the politeness. He could be British. Pardon me. If the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the wonderful deeds that our ancestors recounted to us, saying, did the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has cast us off and given us into the hand of Midian. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of the Midian. I hereby commission you or charge you. He responded, but sir, how can I deliver Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in the family. The Lord said to him, I will be with you. I will be with you, and you shall strike down the Midianites, every one of them. I don't know if you ever feel like Gideon. Sometimes I feel a bit like Gideon. I feel like, nope, I'm just this person. What could I possibly do for God? God, I'm too little. God, I'm too weak. God, my family isn't well known. God, I'm not famous. God, I don't have loads of money. God, I'm ill. God, I'm this. God, I'm that. I've got plenty of things to say to God when he asks me to step into things. Plenty of excuses to say, no, I can't do it. And I've got my identity a little bit from the culture around me. Like the culture around me says, oh, God's not really doing that anymore, is he? Like he's not really doing that. Like we've heard the good things. I'll worship you because you split the Red Sea. That was incredible, wasn't it? Like I remember hearing about that. That's awesome. God did it then. He's not really doing it now, is he? I'm not really seeing the deeds of God now, am I? I can be a little bit like Gideon. I can have my eyes closed to what God is actually doing. But the Lord sees you differently. The Lord places an identity of boldness upon you. The Lord sees you as a mighty warrior. This man who's in his little wine press trying to thresh wheat. Do you know what threshing wheat is? You throw it up, the wind blows, and the chaff gets taken away. It doesn't happen if you're down underground because no wind blows under there. He's hiding. He's scared. There are scared people. They're scared of what the Midianites are doing. The Midianites are causing chaos for them. And they're like, Lord, you're not doing it for me. You're not doing it. Like, we're not seeing it. The Lord puts a call on Gideon's life because he says, now is the time for change. Now is the time to step into something new. Now is the time for something fresh. I am with you. The Lord Almighty, Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth, I'm with you. I am living in you and I'm going to be with you. Do you know that's one of the best promises of all of Scripture? That's one of the biggest differentiations between a Christian and a non-Christian. The Lord lives in you and he goes with you wherever you go. Wherever you step, he steps. Wherever you go, whichever office you go to in the week, whichever shop you step into, whatever neighborhood you're in, the Lord travels with you. Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth, lives inside of you. You might be weak. You might be ill. You might be unable to do it. But he has a way. He has a plan and a purpose over you. And you can see impossible things happen. I just want to pause there for one moment. I want you to just close your eyes. God is a God who is speaking. And I just want to ask God, come and convict us. Come and fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll be bringing things to mind now, Lord Jesus, charges that you put upon our lives, commissions that you put upon our lives, Lord. I pray that you'd awaken things of the past, Lord Jesus, that we know are in there, but we've not yet stepped into, Lord. Awaken them in our souls, Lord Jesus. Awaken them in our minds. Jesus, we want to live for you. We want to walk your way. We want to live in the purposes and adventures that you have for us, Lord. And there's a weight on this. There's a weight on the Holy Spirit. Just speaking to you, just charging you, bringing things back to mind. And it might not be something completely radical, like new, as in a whole new career, or a whole new this, a whole new that. It might just be, do this, step into this little thing, step into that little thing. God, I thank you that you're faithful. I thank you that we can trust you. And I pray that you'd stir our hearts with faith, Lord. About 17 years ago, Zoe did a year, my wife Zoe did a year out with this church. She came and worked with Duncan, heard his excellent singing in the mornings as he worshipped the Lord in his office. That's what she'd come home and tell me. Praise the Lord.
Yes. She's still getting ministry for that.
she's still blessed by that, Duncan. Hugely blessed by a man who loves to pray. But 17 years ago, she did this year out with the church, and she's got this real passion for asylum seekers, a real passion for immigrants and people who are coming in and they're in desperate pleas and desperate situations. And God has always put it on her heart to work with them. And so she thought, why not? Let's try and see what we can do as a church. And she started gathering in and she started doing lunches and starting. But the same message came through again and again. There's just no good legal help. There's no good legal help out there. Like, there's no way of getting a solicitor. There's no way. And God started speaking to her about whether she could do that. He started speaking and put it onto her heart. And then she'd come to me, a bit like a Gideon, like, nope, we've got no money. We can't do that. There's no way. Like, that's impossible for that to happen. At the time, she was in a career. She was working for Tear Fund, and her career was going well. And she was about to get another promotion. And that would have meant more money for us, which would have been beautiful. It's always nice to get more money in, isn't it? Always nice to get those promotions. But it wasn't what the Lord was saying to us. In fact, he was saying, don't be tempted by the mammon. Follow me. And I was like, no, I don't know if we can do this. We can't do this. Then there was one weekend where we went on a weekend away with, I don't know where it was. It was Butlins, I think. It was a lovely little place. And on the Friday evening, this had just been kept on coming up. And on the Friday evening, me and Zoe prayed. And we're like, okay, God, you won't leave this alone. If this is you, you need to make it abundantly clear, because this is too high a risk for us to take. On the Sunday evening, Dave Stroud, a guy who is a leader in a church in central London, got on the stage and he just preached. And at the end, he brought this prophetic word. And the prophetic word said this. He said, I believe there's people in here who should become solicitors and lawyers, but it's the one thing holding you back, and it's money. I feel like the Lord will provide. We prayed on the Friday. I think God was speaking. I think the Lord was speaking to us. And at that point, it's nothing but disobedient if you don't step into those plans and purposes. And so she made some plans and purposes. And she started training to become a solicitor. She hadn't got any background in law. She started training to become a solicitor. And God just opened door after door, the right universities. People provided money for us. We were given money through the door. All sorts of things happened. We left that without any debt. Like, we left her training, 20 grand worth of training, not a single piece of debt. God is good. Like, God is good. And he knows what callings he puts on your life. And if you will step into them, he will provide for you and he will make a way. He will open a door that no man can shut. Now, it doesn't end at that point. She got a job with a great law firm. But then we started sensing a calling to Manchester, a calling to move to Manchester. This was probably about 10 years ago. And we were like, okay, God, I think you're speaking to us about moving to Manchester to plant a church. I think that's something you're putting in our heart. We talked it through Duncan and Jill, and they helped us through the process. But it was a funny time, because her law firm, that, like, she was just qualified. She was doing okay in it. Like, she was doing well, but her law firm were like, no, you cannot do that. You cannot do that and keep a job with us. Like, oh, I just love this law firm. Like, they don't own me. I could get a job elsewhere, but I just love this law firm. God started speaking to her. Could you start a Wilson's North? Could you start what we do in London up in the north? And we were like, yeah, that would be great. The only trouble is the company weren't on board. They were like, no, I don't think that's us. Like, no, you can't do that. It's not what we do. We've got a law firm here. That's what we do. During the pandemic, the law changed, which meant that you could see people, like your clients, over the phone and through Zoom. So they started to allow you to meet, like, remotely. So the door opened for us to move to Manchester and keep her job. God is good. God is good. God is good. He has plans and purposes to walk into. We moved up to Manchester. It was not plain sailing. The last 2 years have not been easy for Zoe. She's been working at home. It's not been easy. She's not been around colleagues. She started thinking, oh, maybe I should get out of this field. Like, her compassion was lacking, and like, maybe I should stop this. Maybe that was for a season. Maybe God had that for me for a season. Wilson's North didn't look likely. The firm was still saying, no, we're not going to do that. Then at Christmas this year, in Zoe's one-to-one, her boss just said, oh, we're thinking about doing Wilson's North. We're thinking about opening an office. What do you think? And we're like, I don't know. Like, it's incredible. Then in April this year, she opened Wilson's North, started started an office, has employed two people, and it's going really well, and people are loving. God is good. All the time. God is good. He is so, so good, and he has plans and purposes for them. It's not easy. I promise you, it's not easy walking through them. It's not easy planting a church. It's not easy starting an office. It's not easy like thinking, okay, God, is it now? Is it now? No, it's not now. Like there's a lot of toing and froing. It's like the devil comes against you. You feel like the warfare that is happening as well. But God has plans and purposes for them. Will you walk in them? Will you walk into the adventures of Jesus? Just while I was praying and thinking, okay, who in the New Testament was given a charge where we might be able to get some advice from it? And I thought of Timothy. In 2 Timothy, there is this charge that is given to Timothy from Paul. Okay, this is nearing the end of Paul's life. He's in prison again. He's in a dark and dingy prison this time, not in his house arrest. He's in a horrible place. And this is probably one of his final letters before he's executed for his faith. And he's given this advice to this young protege that he's got, that he's trained up, that has seen him. So 2 Timothy 3 verse 10 to 4 verse 8. I'm just going to read it through and just pick out a couple of good points from it. Okay, so 2 Timothy 3. I'm afraid I've got the NRSV, which isn't helpful. Now, you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and my sufferings, the things that have happened to me in Antioch, Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But wicked people and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learnt it, and how from childhood you have known sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you or charge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound teaching, but having their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, be sober in everything. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully. As for me, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. There is so much beauty in that little passage. So much beauty there. The first thing to just pick out, there's a charge, there's an urge. Sometimes I think Christianity nowadays can be a bit like peaceful and a bit kind of like, oh yeah, let's rest in the presence. Let's create our boundaries. Let's do this, let's do that. And I just want to say to you, there's a charge from God, a commission to step into the things of him. There's an urgency of Paul in this writing, an urgency, step into the things God has for you. Step into them. The good stuff of resting in God's presence is highly important. I love the worship this morning. I miss you all so much. But it was beautiful to be in that presence. It's good to create space where God speaks and meets with us. But there's an urgency of calling on each of our lives to step into. Step into what God has for you. Be brave, be bold, step into them. An urgency of Paul's writing. Look at this. I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. Let me fight that good fight. Let me push in towards what God has for me. Let me do, and he says in another verse, let me do what Christ has taken a hold of my life for. Let's do that. Let's be challenged by that. The other thing, the second thing is this. Who are you watching? Whose lives are you watching? You start this life and it's like, Timothy, you have watched me. And you've watched me through thick and thin. You've watched me through the good times and the bad times. You've seen when things have been easy and we've been flourishing in the Lord. And you've seen when we've got shipwrecked. You've seen when persecution has come. You've seen when suffering has happened. And you've seen when the glory of the Lord has broken out. Are you around people like that? Are you around people like that? That will build your faith. Like that will put courage in your bones to step into the things of God. When you're hanging out with people like that, when you're in that community, I think this is a good space for learning. I think Trinity and KCC is a good space for learning. Be watching other people and celebrate what Jesus is doing. Go on the journey together. It is so important. Don't try and go alone. There's no such thing as a lone Christian. Go in a pack. Who's watching your life? People are watching your life all the time. Do you know that? In your workplace, everywhere. God is watching. People are watching. God is. Yeah, he is. But other people are as well. People are watching your life. Let's be these people who, through thick and thin, and it's not got to be everything's going well. Like Christ uses the weak things of the world. He does. It says it in Corinthians. To do what? To shame the wise. If I'm foolish, if I'm weak, if I'm having struggling times, God can still shine through me. Why? Because the Lord is in me wherever I go. Be with people. Journey with people. I tried to roll my scripture up there. It's time of the age, isn't it? Timothy, and this is something. Timothy, it says you have known the scripture from young age. And I just wanted to stay on that for a second. Parents. 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 Disciple your children. Read the Bible with them. Pray with them. Timothy has known the scripture from a young age. His mum and his grandma, it says earlier in Timothy, Eunice and Lois, have taught him the scriptures from a young age. Be discipling your young people intentionally. Like, let them see your life as well. Let them see the adventures of faith that you have. Let them see when it's hard. That's the best advice Duncan actually ever gave me. When we moved up to Manchester, we were like, oh, it's going to be hard for our children. And he was like, let them join in the mission. Let them join in with what you're doing. Capture them up, get them praying, get them. It was the best. Because now they own the church probably more than I do. They're probably there. No, they're not there today. But they own it. They're like, oh, is that person coming back? I hope so. They love it. They pray for it. It's the adventure of them as well. But you train that into them from a young age. Disciple them well. They will shine for Jesus in the long run. You never know who you're training up. I always think like Billy Graham's. Billy Graham always said that his mum was the most effective discipler, the most effective person calling him into his calling. John Wesley said the same thing. His mum was the most important reason why he had a solid faith. That he walked in the way that he walked because he had seen the witness. Both of them had seen the witness of the mum, the praying mum. There's a calling on our lives as parents, even with other callings as parents. It's a priority to disciple our children. The next thing, all scripture is God-breathed. What a beautiful statement that is, eh? This word is God-breathed. It's the breath of God into our lungs, the living breath and word of God that speaks into us. This is the word. This is his word that speaks in, that shapes us. And what does it do? It trains us. It trains us. It says, actually, if you want to be equipped for every good work, this is the word that you need to be in. You need to be in this word and be equipped for the good works that he has for you. It's the word, but don't be on top of it. Don't try and judge it. Let it judge you. Let it speak into you. Don't find people who will tickle your ears. I love that line in there. Don't find people who will tickle your ears. There is lots of people out there right now who are teaching bad doctrine, bad truth, and it will take you away. It says here people have been led away because of that. Surround yourself with people who love the word of God, who love it and live in it. Train each other in it. Disciple one another. Let it rebuke you. Let it train you. Let it challenge you. if the Word of God is always comfortable to you, you're probably not reading it. Or you're probably reading one verse. There's challenging bits in it which will provoke you and challenge you and train you. But they'll call out to you as well. And they'll say, come on this amazing adventure with me. Look, I've got incredible adventures for you. The Word of God will speak in and give you great courage. When things are going hard, it says everyone will suffer. There'll be hard times. There'll be struggle. It'll be dark sometimes. Stay in the Word of God. It will give you the strength that you need. It'll give you the words that you need, the courage that you need. In this place, the Word of God will shape you and train you. Stay in the Word of God. And then there's just three little lines at the end, isn't it? Be sober in everything. Don't go getting high and drunk. Be sober. Be sober-minded. Be aware. Be acknowledging where you are. Like, be sober-minded. Suffer well. Suffer well. Do it. Suffer well. Because you will suffer. Suffer well. It's not all health, wealth, and prosperity. Do the work of an evangelist. Do the work. Timothy's not an evangelist. Timothy's a pastor. But there's a command from Paul to do the work of an evangelist. Each one of us has that call upon us. And I wanted to rest on this verse longer. Because we have to be witnesses for Jesus. Yeah? We have to be. We have to be stepping into that in a new and fresh way constantly. Do the work of an evangelist. Even if you're not a gifted evangelist, the command is do the work of an evangelist. Timothy, I don't think, was a gifted evangelist. He was a bit nervous, a bit shy, had a bad stomach sometimes because he got nervous. Do the work of an evangelist. Step into those things of sharing Jesus. Take Jesus into your family, your workplace, your neighborhood. He is good. And then the last thing, Paul says this, I have finished the race well. Persevere till the end. Persevere till the end. There is some excellent people in here who are later on in their lives. And you're a good witness to us. I won't look at everyone. Keep your heads down, everyone. Am I the old person? The Lord. But we finish the race well. There's been too many Christians, big Christian celebrities, who have fallen. They've not finished the race well. Let's not be those people. Let's finish the race well. Let's continue. Let's persevere in the things that the Lord has spoken to us. Let's persevere in the things of God. Let's stay true to what he is talking about. There's a verse, and this is where I'm going to close, in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. And it says this, the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but he gives us power, love, and self-discipline. God has given us the Holy Spirit. Like all that stuff that I'm talking about, you might go, that is impossible for me to live like that. I can't live like that. It's not me. That's like Gideon. Like if that's your response, like it's Gideon. And just like, it's okay. Because in your own strength, you can't do it. But you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And the Holy Spirit can give you power. The same power that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of you. Have you thought about that? The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside each one of us. It's impossible to live this way without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I would just love us to be praying right now for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. So I just encourage you, close your eyes. Do you get the band back here? Do you come back? And we will go into worship after this. I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just wait on the Spirit for a moment. Come.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I thank you that the promise of God is that you'll go with us wherever we go. I thank you that the promise is that you'll fill us with your Holy Spirit. The promise is that you will direct us and lead us, you'll take us by the hand and lead us on. Thank you that there's promises all through Scripture, Lord. Thank you that you've made us your sons and daughters. Thank you that you've called us into the purposes that you have for this world, Lord. And I just pray for a boldness, Lord Jesus, a boldness and courageousness to come upon us, Lord. Make us bold for you, King Jesus. Make us courageous for you, Lord Jesus. Let us be people of worship and praise, Lord Jesus. Let us be people of action, Lord Jesus. Come and empower your people now, Lord. And I pray that you would speak, Lord Jesus. Speak to each person here now, Lord. And let us capture those words, capture those directions. And Lord, I pray for courageousness to step into them, Lord. Thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you are true. Thank you that you are good, Lord.